dealing with young people is the greatest work in the world. The young people don't realize that they are the hope. They are the hope of the church, the future church. And we are greatly interested in doing the best we can to shape and mold their lives so they can be useful in spreading the greatest kingdom known to man, the Church of Christ. And if you can get this mass of people together, as you have, it's a proven fact that all we need is just to get behind these young people and push them to the front and encourage them in everything that's possible. That's good. And you'll find God's kingdom spreading as never before. I hope I can touch on some things that would make the parents of these children awfully happy. Sometimes I think we as parents don't know what we have, don't realize the value of our own children. Now I'm going to tell you the reason of that pretty soon. I'm glad to know that Brother Cato thought enough of me to bring me to you. He's president of the National Christian Institute. Brother M. Burton, who recently passed away, always asked me not to travel alone because it's so contagious and all with large crowds in these airports and places that it's not safe. At my age, to be alone. Brother Cato, Willie T. Cato, been 9 years the president of the National Christian Institute, I hardly ever go without him carrying me and bringing me back safely. Today he's with us. I guess he's in the audience. I can't even locate him. But nevertheless, it does me good to know that he's in the audience. I think he's in the audience. I don't have a greater friend. And for years, I have traveled with boys trying to make preachers out of them or develop them into preachers. And today, I must say that I'm awfully proud that hundreds, I might say thousands of boys that are preaching the gospel today have traveled with me. I've raised them up, taught them what to do, and they're preaching and handling some of the greatest churches we have. At Pepperdine College last October, I was on a lectureship. They called it a missionary workshop, I believe they called it. And I got to working over there in a similar program like this. Not this many children and people present, I don't think. But anyway, we had 200 responses. Amen. Can y'all say amen? I believe I'll go over that again. You didn't seem to catch it. You didn't seem to catch it. Well, that, when I told you we had over 200 responses, that shows you what young people can do. If the young people were in that group that were coming forward, Dr. Young asked me, could you preach three times on Sunday? All the missionaries want to hear you. I said, yes, I can preach five if you want me. I believe God would have given me strength to do it. When I extended an invitation, it shocked everybody, and Dr. Young wrote me a letter immediately after I left. I've been president, he told me how many years, never saw nothing like this in the history of my life. I hope that'll happen here today. I do, there's power in the gospel. The gospel's where the power is. The power's not in Brother Keeble, it's in the gospel, the message that I have. As well as the power of any gospel sermon, not in the man. As I look upon this great audience, I do it with pleasure and with joy in my heart, and I can hardly hold back the tears. It's touching. It's a serious thing because I'm thinking of the future of the Church of Christ. And these great schools of ours, they don't know what they're doing. The presidents and the faculties don't know what they're doing for the Church of Christ. And the Church of Christ, for all of us, don't know what the schools mean to us. shaping and molding the lives of these great young people and going out in the world as missionaries and coming back to you with records that your children come back with, it's something that you or I, neither one, never even imagined. Never imagined it. But you haven't, the hand ain't never been told yet. The value of our Christian school, we never will be able to estimate. Never be able to know the value. Why, when Jesus was 12 years of age, you know the record better than I do. Parents brought him down to Jerusalem to pay taxes and into the rush and everything. He got lost. That was profitable if he got lost, because if he hadn't got lost, he wouldn't have these words on fixing the coat that he said. He wouldn't have had the privilege of saying them if he hadn't got into the predicament that he was in. Pass for a day's journey. The greatest child that was ever born, the mother and father went a whole day before they missed him. That's what the record says. A whole day, Jesus, wandering around the streets of Jerusalem, no parents. And they had lost him. And they were looking for him, no doubt grieving over it. And when they did find him, he wasn't even disturbed. No need of bothering about me. It's time I was about my father's business. That's why these children are here in this school now, getting ready for the father's business. What I know what they're here for. Their parents were interested enough in them to send them here and suffer for the necessities of life to pay the expenses of sending them to an institution like this. Any boy or girl got parents like that ought to be the happiest and try to make them happy. Now, I'm glad to see a number like this congregated here. It makes the future look bright. And not only that, he said this time I was about my father's business. And I think sometimes our children today need to know that the Father still has business for them. And you have it right here in this great school. Brother Sewell, I saw him yesterday, and I got to meet Brother Morris. He's been pretty sick. And I was happy to see these two men look as well as they look. Looks like God's going to leave them here to see greater and greater things than this for the great work they have done and are now doing, and they ain't through yet. See, I like to say they're old, but they're not old, they're young men. They're not old. I want them to know that they're not old. God ain't through with them. They're hanging around here, the great living examples to all of us, and we're proud of them. Brother A.M. Bright, who just passed away, then gave away millions of dollars to David Lipscomb, passed away the other day, several days or months ago, and left a great fund here for all young people that can qualify. Educational fund, thousands and thousands of dollars. And you know what he done? He named that fund A.M. Burton and Marshall Keeble Fund. I didn't know I was that rich. I got rich overnight. But either way, amen. If you don't amen me, I've learned amen myself. Church of Christ is dying today to a certain extent. They could get better sermons if they just nod their head at the preacher. We don't do nothing to encourage a preacher. Whole thing has to stand up and the burden don't even know what, don't even smile. A man preaching the Church of Christ got a tough job. So they haven't learned. I'm trying to learn all the preachers. If the church don't amen you, just amen yourself. They don't know when to say amen, poor things. There'll be a day when the preachers of the Church of Christ will be appreciated. And the messages that they bring to the church, the brethren won't stop them from making a little noise. They say, you're second. Well, they're second to do some good things. Your man, if I'd have been a Baptist preacher preaching like I am, you couldn't hear me for the amen. And they ain't preaching nothing on there, you see. to get amen, not preaching the gospel. What ought I to get if I'm preaching the gospel? Amen. Amen. This morning I couldn't hold back, and I didn't try to hold back. I just turned it loose and said amen, and I stared everybody around me. You're going to learn it, brother, and you're going to learn it. Show the preachers, encourage the preachers, and let them know you enjoy their messages, and you'll get better sermons. Anybody will do better when somebody's encouraging them. Thank you, amen. One white sister came to me the other day. She said, Keeble, I've been wanting to say amen a long time. Since you've been here, I said amen. I said, well, maybe I've turned you loose. Yeah, they don't mean no harm. They're trying to keep them being secky. You're not secky, you're just enjoying yourself. Why, you take the President of the United States, a Texan, one of the greatest in the White House. Don't look at me so funny. Negro never did know he was free. Johnson got in the White House. That's right. We didn't know we was free. Many privileges we're getting under his administration, we never have gotten. Amen. I'm even telling the truth. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I ain't nothing politically. See that? That's why I ain't working for neither one. Never voted in my life and don't expect to. But what you're doing, Keeble, I'm living off of those that do vote. Been given honor where it's due, praise where it's due. So Mr. Johnson, he don't write his speeches. No president has written it. No president that ever sat in the White House wrote his speech. You know why? He didn't have sense enough. Amen. Now, this is laughable, but it's true. Men that have got the brains ain't in the White House. White House knows where they are. And they get them and tell them what they want them to do, and they do it. So proud that type of man lives, so the president can have somebody to help proud him. I thank God today for the great work this school is doing. I just went off on that little limb there to let you know Brother Keeble is interested in the future of the churches of Christ and the schools that we have. Now here, everybody disturbed today about the juveniles, the young people we call them. But everybody's disturbed and asking this question, what's going to become of the juveniles? I'm not worried about the juveniles. I'm worried about the ones that raised them. Amen. Amen, amen. Mom and Papa raising all these juveniles, and sometimes Papa smoking up 3 or 4 packages of cigarettes a day and blowing his shoes, children's shoes out in the air. Amen. You notice how quiet y'all are getting? But you're sitting in here now with packages of cigarettes in your pocket. You wasted your money, killing your own selves, and don't know it. Walking around puffing, blowing in the air God's money. Put it in your church treasure. Let the gospel be preached and the kingdom of God spread. Yeah. Pay your preachers more and you won't blow it out in the air. Amen. 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 Now then, another thing, a lot of us. Brethren in the Church of Christ, a lot of homes right now represented in here. You got preachers that loaded with beer, cooling off so when you get back home you get a cool drink. You know you're doing well to raise sober children with that stuff hanging in the elevator in your field, your radio. Did you know you're going to spend more money for the beer and cigarettes and you wasted to spend it to spread the gospel? Spend it on your children. Spend it on them. Send them to these schools and pay their tuition and watch the world change. When Papa stopped blowing out the money that God gives him in the air. Wasting his money and his children needing shoes and he's blowing it in the air. I have got much respect for a man that drinks beer and whiskey and comes home and expects that that wife to lay up in the bed with him with a breath like that? And every man wants an angel for a wife. He's just looking for an angel. But what angel wants to lay down with a hog? Congratulate you good women that are living so honest and pure to your husband and him living that kind of a life. I want to congratulate. You need congratulations. Don't leave him. Just stay with him. Stay with him. Stay with him. I wouldn't exhort you to leave. Stay with him. Don't let nothing come between you and your husband. And if he hasn't got no more respect for you to come home with whiskey and beer on his breath, you turn him over to God. Turn him over to God, somebody that knows what to do with him. Amen. Now, y'all didn't know what route I was going. I'm allowed to say more of this as I go along through here this evening. When I do this, what are you doing, Keeble? I'm making one man come to me the other day and said, Brother Keeble, I never intended to buy another cigarette and I need another bottle of beer. That's right, my sermon. Yes, sir. He done paid for the whole thing. I'm going to change somebody's mind this evening. That meaning the other day I'll never smoke another cigarette. Never do it. Never drink another beer. I'll drink a beer. I'm going to do that. The word of God will do it. God says, come out from among them and be ye separated and keep yourselves unspotted from the world. That's pure religion. Pure religion. I hope I can preach this so plain and clear until not a child in here touch another drop of beer or drink a drop of beer. Our bottle of whiskey never be found in possession. I'm trying my best. If you don't preserve and keep this young race pure, you'll have a wreck in America. Respect their parents. And a boy that comes home with beer and whiskey on his breath ought not to kiss his mother. Boys, respect your mother. Respect your father's teaching. All of that's brought about by touching not, taste not, handle not the unclean thing. We're going to have to learn this. We're going to have to be preachers are responsible for this beer in the preacher. You ain't touching it. Amen. The preachers ought to acknowledge I'm right. You'd preach about this, then preachers' ass wouldn't be loaded. And the brethren can't hardly go out of the church on Lord's Day. He's sitting in there taking the Lord's Supper and thinking about his cigarettes and his lights him before he can get out the door. That is the color, not y'all, the color. I paused right there for station identification. I paused to let you know what station, what message I'm preaching today. I let you know what station I'm coming over. But what station are you coming over, Keeble? I'm coming over station COC. What is that? Church of Christ, greatest station in the world. He's the God Almighty, the President, Jesus Christ, Vice President, and Holy God, General Manager. I said, amen. Don't go to Bible looking for it, but it's managing things. Is that right? Holy Ghost, he said, the Holy Ghost will guide you in the way of all truth. Holy Ghost is guiding the Church of Christ right here in Abilene. And going to do it as long as the church stands. I'm going to go over that again because y'all don't even look right. Holy Ghost is general manager. That's what it was sent down for. Jesus said, when I get back to heaven, I'm going to pray my Father to send you another comforter. And when that comforter has come, it'll take charge of things and guide you in the way of all truth. And if you forgot anything I told you, it'll bring it back to your remembrance. Is that all right? Is there any preachers in here? You ought to aim me for a thing. You know you can't get nothing to save you unless the Holy Ghost brings it. That's what it come down from heaven for, to guide, take charge of the apostles and guide them so they wouldn't teach nothing wrong. I mean, I'm in the Church of Christ. The Holy Ghost is guiding you. General manager, and I use that word general manager, I use it with caution. I mean, it's got the power to manage the church if we'll let it do it. Young men, if you want to know what is best for us and be impressed, go to Africa. I made two trips to Africa. Brother A.M. Burton practically paid for both trips. He cried the last time I went because I was a little bit sick and under the doctor, and he didn't think I'd be safe to go. Went to office to talk with him, and I did. He said, I don't think you ought to go. I said, well, I'll have to go, Brother Burton. This one time I'll have to not listen at you because I got to go back over there. That's my second trip. He pulled out $1,000 on the trip. At least he sent it to the party who had the money. Never give me nothing himself, but he sent it to the one managing the trip. What is the matter? He wanted me. And the first thing I done when I got over there and preached in Africa, 45 barefooted Africans come walking down the aisle. Some of them running, barefooted, babies in their arms. Make a confession, was baptized. 45 of them. No shoes on, hardly no clothes. You don't know the great sacrifice your children are making. Over there, missionaries. Over there, working out their salvation for people that can't read. People don't have any clothes. Your daughter's over there doing it with a smile. You can't hear a single one of them murmur. Never heard a missionary murmur in my life. Take Sister A.R. Horton. I met her since I've been here. And you know, I thought about her husband the first, what he was doing in Korea, and how they suffered in Korea to bring the gospel. And the first sermon I preached in Korea, there were 15 of them come forward out of the high school. And a man that was teaching in that school, a preachman, he walked up, the professor, he's a preachman, walked up and he obeyed the gospel. Gospel has power in the gospel. And our young people, Sister Holden and Brother Holden, were guiding those young Koreans, and they were wonderful workers in the kingdom of God, and still doing it today. Still doing it. Church of Christ is doing a great work in the foreign land. A great work. Our missionaries are suffering, and not a murmur. Not a murmur. Nursing their little African babies in their arms, and putting, changing their clothing for them, showing the mothers how to take care of them. Why, you wouldn't believe they do that, but they are doing it every day. Every day in Africa, and in our foreign land. That's it. Amen. This ain't no small job to get up and tell an audience things like these. It's important. I know it is. But I'm glad I can stand here and tell you what I know because I saw it. And I saw these 15 Koreans pray to go walk out and confess Christ and were baptized when ice was on the ground. Cold as it could be, and here comes that professor right behind him, and he was baptized. But did Keeper do that? No. What done it? Power did the gun. I'm willing to preach the gospel in season and out of season. Preach it when they like it and preach it when the day has rapidly, is rapidly coming, when the Church of Christ is going to take the world for Christ. I believe we're going to do it right here in Texas. Right here in Texas, Dr. Gaines come down right in Dallas, he did. And put me, you know, I'm a doctor. He made me a doctor's a degree. You didn't know I was a doctor. I'm a doctor. He put me and gave me my graduating robe and everything. So I'm a legal doctor in the Church of Christ. Dr. Gaines came down and put it on me, and I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it. Why? Because it showed him what he thought I was worthy of it. He brought the choir down and all the singers from Harding College to produce that and make me a doctor. In the Church of Christ. You take old man getting a doctor's degree and never met with above the seventh grade. I was doctor in the seventh grade. Yeah. You know, church and brethren, if there ever was a happy man in the world, it's Brother Keeble. Have you lived long enough, and I couldn't have made the success I have in the church if it hadn't have been for you all. You've made me what I have. If I'm anything at all, I tell them that. At the school, I said, the white brother made me what I am. I'd be a coward if I didn't tell it. You're done, and Brother Ian Burton laid that fund down so boys and girls would qualify and draw on that fund. White and colored, not just for Negro boys, white and colored can draw on it. Left it here, and there's a lot of white brethren in Texas, rich, got plenty of money, they're going to give on that fund. Keep it alive. Keep it alive so the boy that can't get the money, it can draw on it. He left it that way. He left it that way. We need some more men like A.M. Blayton, and that fund will grow. Farmers will send it, Keeble. Send it to Brother Purvis. He's the man that heads that fund, and he was left for that purpose. Send it to him, and he'll send your receipt back, and he'll mention it to the board of directors. He'll tell them about it. Some have already told me they're going to send regular to it. I wish you would. You seen it announced in the advocate that he left this fund? Why not just get in your mind, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to feed that fund as long as they use it like Burton left it here to be used. Is that purpose? That's some rich men sitting in here now. Got plenty of money, full of oil money. Amen. Brother, we can do it. You can do it. Brother Keeble's doing it, talking like he's talking. Yes, but not for his sake, because my days are not long. Talking for the sake of the young people coming on behind me. Young people are coming on behind me, and the church is going to support them. The church is going to build up that fund. You're going to do it. Some of these days, Brother Cato and I will travel among all the churches in Texas and other parts of the country and tell you about it. Explain it more fully to you. That's what we'll do. And this afternoon, my friends, I hope that a lot of people present in this audience today, they'll do like they did in Los Angeles in Pepperdine College, obey the gospel. Walk out on God's word today as never before. Not 200, there ought to be 500 people in here out of Christ. And if you're here, I'm glad you are. Well, Brother Keeble, what have I got to do to be saved? That's the most important part of the whole thing. What must I do to be saved? Did you know that Paul and Silas was put in prison and their feet fastened in the stocks? Did you know when God saw they were being mistreated, what did he do? He shut the prison. A great earthquake happened and he shut the prison and the shackles were turned loose. And the next thing you find is the jailer down at the feet of the prisoners, asking the prisoners that he just put in shackles, Lord, what must we do to be saved? They'll do it. Oh, yes. They asked the question the jailer did, and the shackles were loose. Who done it? God done it. God done it. And then when Jesus Christ said the Holy Spirit to come down on the day of Pentecost, and apostles stood up and preached as the Holy Ghost guided them, about 3,000 obeyed the gospel. About 3,000. What was the matter? It came down what? Well, as a mighty rushing wind. It came down as a mighty rushing wind. What for? To guide the apostles. And Peter had the courage to tell them, that same Jesus, as you crucified and slain, God had raised him from the dead. And when they heard this, it pricked them to the heart, and they cried out unto Peter, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter said, repent. Be baptized, who? Every one of you. In the name of the man you just crucified. In the name of the man you buried in a borrowed tomb. In the name of the man that died on Calvary that we might live. In the name of the man that went down to the grave and went on into hell and conquered hell, death, and the grave. In his name. Somebody in here this evening wants to obey the gospel. Somebody in here this evening wants to be baptized to wash your sins away. Somebody here today, I'm sure, young and old, ought to walk out on God's word this afternoon. Show the world you're not ashamed. Show the world you're willing to come to Jesus and bow to his word. I just believe that's true this afternoon. I'm so glad I was invited. I want to thank Brother Morris for getting the faculty and all the children and all the connection with the school to invite me here on this great occasion. I pray that we can get somebody, a number of you, to walk out on God's word. And you that are here, members of the church, on a stray, backslidden, return back to the fold of God. Come back and confess your errors and bow to God's word. Never to punish the church in the morning, bring disgrace by living a dirty, sinful life. Renew your covenant today. Walk out on his word today. And like the prodigal son, I will arise. quiet and go to my farm. I just believe somebody's here. Somebody's going to be willing to accept the gospel after Brother Keeble gets through and the invitation song is sung. And I want y'all to sing it as never before. Just lift the raft of this possible on this building. Let us all sing God's praises. See, won't somebody come to Christ? Won't somebody bow to his word? Won't somebody leave the doctrine, commandments of men? Walk out and be baptized to wash your sins away? And if you drifted back in the world out of the church of Christ, come back to the Father and say, Lord, I give myself to thee. It's all that I can do. Had a young lady just recently come forward, and the brother wrote down her statement, and she said, on that she says, I haven't lived like I ought to. I haven't respected my mother like I ought to. I've been sizing my mother. She wrote that on the car. The meeting just closed in Nashville, Tennessee. She wrote that on a nice young lady in A&I State College, a Baptist young lady, but she wrote this on the card. I haven't lived like I ought to. I haven't treated my mother right. I even went back to her brothers and sisters. I've been mean to my brothers and sisters. I'm coming forward. I want to be baptized to wash my sins away. I want God to add me to his church. I believe somebody's in here. There's a number of people in here willing to do this. I believe you are. I trust that I've touched your heart this evening. I hope I've touched the heart of some wayward traveler that has left the doctrine of Christ, gone back into the world. Why not just renew your covenant? Why not try and come back like the prodigal son and say, Lord, I give myself to thee. It's all that I can do. Why not do that? Why not surrender? Why not deny yourself and say, I come to thee, O Lord? It's all that I can do. Why don't you do that tonight? Why don't you do that this afternoon and surrender? And the angels of heaven will rejoice. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. Why not do that this afternoon? Why not bow to God's word? Why not surrender? And say, Lord, I'm coming to thee. Lord, I come to thee. It's all that I can do. Will you do that? Will you bow? Will you surrender? I persuade you. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. We're willing to do that. We're trying to do that this evening. And hope many of you will come forward and confess the Son of God as a Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. While we all stand, is there one willing to come? Is there one willing to come?
Just as I am, the will receive, will welcome heart, long cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Is there one more? Is there another one? Thank God. Thank God. And some more. Some more in here. Some more, just a minute. And sing the first and last stanza again. And I know somebody else's heart's already touched. Somebody else is willing to come. Just give your time to think it over. And you'll think it over and come to Jesus today while it is now day, while it is now light, it is now shining. Now is acceptable time. Won't you come? First and last stanza.